Good morning, John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee. Diamonds are forever, but diamonds also finance conflicts around the world. How do you say I love you and have a guilt-free diamond? We'll talk in a few minutes about how challenging that is. Right now, here's a check on leading stories at 47 minutes after the hour. Looking ahead, President Obama's long-awaited plan for Afghanistan will be laid out tomorrow. The president is expected to announce an increase in troops being sent to Afghanistan, a move that will get the support of at least one Republican, Senator Lindsey Graham.
This is not just any place on the planet. This is the place where the Taliban took control after the Russians left, aligned themselves with Al-Qaeda, and attacked this nation and killed 3,000 Americans. And I hope the president will tell the world, our troops, and anybody listening Tuesday, that will never happen again.
Senator Lindsey Graham spoke yesterday on ABC's This Week.
Honduras has elected a new president, Porfirio Pepe Lobo. The elections are the first to take place since a military-backed coup ousted leftist president Manuel Zelaya 5 months ago. Mr. Zelaya urged Hondurans to boycott the election. From the Honduran capital, the BBC's Stephen Gibbs sent this report.
Supporters of Porfirio Pepe Lobo celebrating on the streets moments after the result is announced. The wealthy landowner campaigned as a unifying figure, with enough distance from both Manuel Zelaya and those that plotted to oust him to bring all sides in this crisis together. But that will be a major challenge. The deposed President Zelaya remains in the capital, in refuge in the Brazilian embassy. He says the election should be annulled, and his die-hard supporters have vowed not to give up the fight. Several Latin American governments have indicated they will not recognize the results of these elections. But on Mr. Lobo's side are what would appear to be the majority of Hondurans, and he has qualified support from the United States, which has described the elections as an important step forward.
The BBC's Stephen Gibbs. Those are some of the stories that we're following this morning.
Roll out of the shadows and find that eventually. There we are, where we are, and what we are is still family.
So Family Monday brings us this statistic. Between Thanksgiving and New Year's, 25% of all marriage proposals happen, most of those involving a diamond ring, the symbol of the rock-solid foundation on which to begin a family. But diamonds also finance civil wars around the world. In some places, they symbolize horrific working conditions. How hard is it to find a conflict-free diamond? Takeaway contributor Beth Kobliner and Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports contributor, join us. And Beth has some advice for Ibrahim, who, it turns out, is in the market for the right ring for his fiancée this holiday season. Beth, let's start with you. How do you explain the concept of a conflict-free diamond?
Well, it's fascinating. This is the big season and people are starting to look for diamonds. And I wanted to look into this for Ibrahim, who is engaged and about to be married soon. And it turns out that conflict-free is defined in very different ways by very different people. And basically, if you go into most jewelers, they'll say 99% of our diamonds are conflict-free, but that simply means that the diamonds are not used to fund civil war against recognized governments. So it's not that rebel forces are controlling diamond mines. It has nothing to do with human rights violations, environmental violations, and therein lies the rub. If you want to find a diamond that's from a place that are not abusing people or they're not those other issues that we've been talking about, then you're going to have to do some homework.
We should note that diamonds come from places that are noted for political instability, Southern Africa, the Sub-Saharan Africa. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, why is this so important to you, getting a conflict-free diamond?
I think it's an important moment. You want to mark this particular moment when you're starting a life. It's an investment. And you don't want to have it to be scarred by anything or tainted by anything that comes from before. So I've been very clear that I really would like to have a conflict-free diamond. I don't want to have blood on my hands when I go and get a diamond.
Now, of course, that sounds great, but actually making that happen in practice is very, very difficult. Who did you talk to figure out what the definition of a conflict-free diamond is and how possible it is to get one?
Well, it really ranges from Amnesty International to trying to get in touch with Tiffany, who didn't want to go on air to talk about it. But they, you know, all these manufacturers have and diamond sellers have signed what they call the Kimberley Process, which started in 2003, which basically says that they're going to get diamonds from these conflict-free environments. But then when I checked with, you know, different sources, you hear that conflict-free can mean different things to different people.
Well, what do you make of this definition?
A conflict-free diamond is a rough diamond that is mined in a conflict-free zone or country. And what's important to note is that actually 99.8% of the world's diamonds are, in fact, conflict-free. And the Kimberley process is something that was developed by the diamond industry, but along with all the governments from diamond-producing countries and the UN to ensure that diamonds were, in fact, traced and that there was a system in place to make sure that diamonds that were being exported and imported were conflict-free and were not going to fund any conflicts.
Now, that's Jamie Cadwell, who's director of the Diamond Information Center. She seems to think everything's just fine.
Right. Well, she does. And that's true. It's a lot better than it was maybe 5-6 years ago. However, even places like Tiffany's and places like Amnesty International are talking about that there are a lot of loopholes and weaknesses in the system. You know, they're talking about the diamond mines and how diamonds are carefully mined. But then when it gets to the next step of polishing and cutting diamonds, it can get other diamonds can get smuggled in. And there's some confusion as to how pure your diamond is when it comes to a conflict-free, completely human rights preserved type of diamond.
Here's a broader definition of a conflict diamond. It comes from Georgette Gagnon, who's Africa Director of Human Rights Watch.
A conflict diamond is a diamond that has been mined in circumstances of war or very serious human rights violations. Sometimes they're also called blood diamonds because people have died, had their limbs chopped off, or been killed because of the scramble to mine the diamonds and then make money off them.
One of the complications here is that diamonds, once they leave their place of origin, are very, very difficult to trace.
Exactly. And while some companies have made efforts to try to figure out a way to track them, there's a company in San Francisco, Brilliant Earth, that they particularly specialize in Canadian diamonds. So they can say from start to finish, we know these diamonds are mined in Canada, polished and cut, and we know where they're from, and we can give them to you with that stamp of approval. But then other people say, well, you're taking business away from Africa.
Well, the thing that surprised me, I guess, is that Georgette Gagnon of Human Rights Watch suggests that actually shoppers can beware here. Listen.
The best thing the consumer can do now is when they go to buy a diamond, ask the jeweler for a certificate of origin. Ask the jeweler, where did this diamond come from? And ask the jeweler, can you prove to me that this diamond did not come from, for example, Zimbabwe? And if the jeweler cannot do that, don't buy the diamond.
So, Ibrahim, how did you make up your mind what to do here?
First of all, I went with people who know the industry, and I went to the sort of the back annals of the diamond industry in the diamond district in Manhattan, and I met with some people and appraised some things that I had that I might go to fitting another ring. But part of the problem that I had was finding people that I just felt like were shady. And so I've gone through a number of different steps. I found Brilliant Earth, and I found another shop in Brooklyn that I'm going to go to where it seems like they make things from recycled materials. They get Canadian diamonds. I feel like I want to have a conversation with a human being, and that's the direction that I'm going in.
Have you made a decision?
I have not made a decision. I'm very close, and actually when I leave here today, I'm going to go pick one up, I think.
Do you think it's possible to find a conflict-free diamond that in this strange, kind of very long-standing, you know, global diamond market that you can find something that's pure as a diamond?
I think there is, because I think that, you know, the attitudes of people are changing. People, you know, they always talked about the four C's, cut, clarity, and color of diamonds. Now we're talking about consciousness, and people are saying this is important to them, particularly younger people. You know, people in their 20s and 30s are saying, this is something that means a lot to me. This is something I'm going to have for the rest of my life with my partner for life, and I want to feel comfortable with it.
And 25% of all engagements take place during this holiday season?
Yep.
All right. So we'll look for some conflict-free engagements.
Exactly.
For the holidays. Beth Koblenner, thanks so much. And Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, good luck.
Thank you.
She has said yes, right?
That's the plan, yes.
She's lovely, too. I met her.
Yes.
It's great.
All right. Well, we'll definitely check in on that story.
Indeed.